chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Thanks for not getting up and leaving when Brother Isaac told you that I was preaching this morning. I appreciate that. Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick up where we left off on Wednesday night. Wednesday night looked at a man named Simeon who met the Lord Jesus Christ as a little baby. And today, this morning, we're going to look at a not-so-young woman named Anna. Luke chapter 2. Once you find your place there, if you're willing and able, would you stand with me as we read and honor the Word of God together this morning? Luke chapter 2. We're going to read three verses together, verse 36, 37, and 38. The Bible says, "There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Let's have a word of prayer together this morning. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here together this morning. And Lord, I'm thankful that we have your word that you've given to us that we can gather around. And I pray you would help us to see Christ this morning. Lord, that if there's one today who has not tasted of the grace that you offer, I pray that they would be saved today. And Lord, for every believer in this room, I pray that you would help us to know Christ better, that we would love Christ more. Thank you so much for the hope that we can share in when we think about the gospel. Pray that your will be done in each of our hearts here this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Anna, just really these few verses that were given here in Luke chapter 2. And so we don't know much about her, but what we do know about her is great. And there's a lot that we can learn from just these couple of verses and the example that she sets. But a couple things about Anna as we look into our text this morning. First of all, you'll notice the Bible mentions her age. She was not a young woman, the Bible says. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, there's a couple different understandings about how old she was. And it's really interesting because when you read commentaries, there are some people who say for sure it's this, and some people say for sure this. Here's the deal. Either this means that she was a widow who was about 84 years old total, or it means that she had been a widow for 84 years. And I lean that direction. It doesn't really matter. She was of great age, and what we read after that is really what matters. But she was a prophetess, the Bible says, which is also, it's uncommon. Miriam was a prophetess. It's not unheard of, but it's uncommon that a woman is called a prophetess in the Bible. And yet the Bible describes her as a prophetess. She was one who had received a message from God and she would share it with others. This could have been something that she had been doing, and it's certainly something that she did after she met Jesus, right? She spoke to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. She was one who took a message to others, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But of all the ways the Bible describes her, this is one that I've read over many times. And Brother Isaac said a moment ago, when you get into the Word of God, sometimes you learn things that you didn't know before. Does that happen to anybody else? I mean, there are times where I read my Bible, and if I didn't know any better, I would swear that that wasn't there last time I read it. Does that ever happen to you? I mean, I start looking at it like, am I reading the right Bible? That wasn't in there. But no, that's the Word of God is rich. And, you know, I think about Brother David Harpool. I've mentioned him a couple times over the last few weeks. And he was the pastor of the church I grew up in. He resigned when I was 2 years old. He had Parkinson's, and he continued there for a while until he passed away. But Brother Harpool would read through the Bible multiple times every year. I remember him being in his 80s, and one of the things he would always tell us is every time he reads it, he learns something new. And this was a guy who had read through his Bible hundreds of times. The Bible isn't a book that you get. Like you don't just read it and you're like, okay, I've got it. It's not like a book that you read, you put it on the shelf when you're done because you've figured it out. It's a deep well, and every time we study the Word of God, we find new things. And so notice this, the Bible describes Anna as the daughter of Phanuel. Now everyone else in the room is probably like, well, I know how that's significant. Well, I didn't. So I'm going to share with you what I learned about being the daughter of Phanuel. Now you understand the New Testament, oftentimes there's a name that's given that's the equivalent of the Old Testament name. So you'll read sometimes in the New Testament about the prophet Esaias. That's Isaiah, right? Isaiah, Esaias. And so check this out. Hold your place in Luke chapter 2. The title of this morning's message is Face to Face with God, and here's why. Go over to Genesis chapter 32. I don't know about you. I get excited when I find stuff in the Word of God I didn't know about. Genesis chapter 32. This is a text that Brother Isaac preached a few months ago as we've been walking through the Old Testament scriptures, looking at pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. But Genesis chapter 32, look at verse number 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And listen to verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now, back in Luke chapter 2, she's the daughter of Phanuel. That's the New Testament equivalent of Peniel. The name Peniel literally means the face of God. When Jacob there wrestled with the Lord, he named it Peniel because he had seen God face to face. Now, this is the Word of God coming alive to me. It's incredible because here we have Anna, thousands of years later, who's at the temple, and she sees this little baby, and she is the daughter of, I have seen God face to face. Here's what happened when Anna saw that little baby. She saw God face to face. And that's a really important doctrine, if you didn't know that. It's critical that you understand this morning that Jesus isn't just the Son of God. Jesus is God. You know why it's so important? Listen to what Jesus said, if you don't believe me. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. We know the significance of him taking that title of I am Jesus. Here's what he says. Unless you believe that I am God, you will die in your sins. The only reason that Jesus was able to be the sacrifice for my sins is because he is God.
That's right.
If Jesus was just a man, he couldn't die for me because he was a sinner. None of you could have died for my sins. None of you are spotless lambs. But Jesus is not just man. Jesus is God. It's a critical doctrine. I'm going to read a few verses. Write these down if you take notes. John chapter 1. We all know this one. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Well, how is it that the Son is called the Everlasting Father? It's because the Son is God. Jesus is God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen, when I was pastoring in Clinton, we had a man who was visiting the church. His name was Luther, and he was a great guy. I got to visit him with him, and it was incredible. We're talking, and it was kind of scary because he agreed with me. Everything I was saying, he agreed with, and I was a little skeptical at first. And we kept talking, and then, I figured out there was one difference. He didn't believe that Jesus was God. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but he would not say that Jesus was God. And I went over to his house one day, and we wrestled for hours and hours. And these are the verses that I looked at. Listen, the Bible is clear that Jesus is God. Amen. And Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm God, you're going to die in your sins. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. God said to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. God called Jesus God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. None of us are equal with God. But Jesus is, because he is God. And one of my favorites, John chapter 20, verse 28. Remember when Thomas was doubting Thomas? He wasn't really sure. Remember, once he met the risen Lord, in John 20, 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now, if any of you, after this sermon, come up to me and say, you refer to me as God, I'm going to quickly correct you before I get struck down. You're not going to call me that. And if you do, I'm going to tell you, stop it. It's kind of like, you remember when Paul was being worshipped? People were falling down because they thought, God is here on earth with us. And Paul said, get up. I'm a human just like you. Don't worship me. And Thomas calls Jesus God. And if Jesus was not God, he would have said, whoa, Thomas. Don't call me God. There's only one God. But what does Jesus say? He says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus didn't correct him. That's because that's an appropriate name to call Jesus. Jesus is God. So once again, we're back in our text in Luke chapter 2, and we meet Anna, who is there in the temple, this prophetess, great in age. And she meets this little baby. And her name is Face to Face with God. And that's exactly what happened that day at the temple. Now listen, John chapter 1, we just read it a second ago, but in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what's incredible for us today? I can't look Jesus in the eyes right now, but someday I will. But I can be face to face with God right now. This, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I can know Jesus just like I know you by looking into his Word. What a blessing that is. You know, that wasn't possible for a long time. This Word wasn't completed a couple thousand years ago. There were books that were written in the Old Testament, and they were certainly, it's the Word of God, but this was completed, and now I have a more sure Word. I have God's Word that I can hold in my hand, and I can know Jesus. And you can too. That's a great blessing that you have. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But it is critical this morning that you understand that Jesus is, in fact, God. And so Luke chapter 2, once again in our text, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, three things we're going to notice about Anna this morning. The first is, notice the communion that's mentioned that she shares with God. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Anna was someone who was devoted to the Lord. And how do we know that? Well, because God's Word tells us so. She fasted and she prayed. She was someone who had close communion with the Lord. We talked about fasting not all that long ago and what that entails. It's the idea of giving something up and using that time to draw nearer to the Lord. Sacrificing something in order to draw nearer to the Lord. Brother Nelson mentioned it a second ago, but Job said that he desired the Lord's word more than his necessary food. You know, most of us wouldn't skip a meal, right? Like, do you guys like missing meals? Like, I don't even like waiting for the next meal. I don't. I snack in between. That's what we do. Like, I eat one meal a day. It starts at about 7 and it ends at about 10. Just keep going. I always wondered if you went to an all-you-can-eat buffet, if they'd ever ask you to leave if you just kept going. Like, get there at lunchtime and just stay all day. You guys want to try it this week? Let's go somewhere together. But she fasted. She was willing to lay aside things in order to spend that time in communion with the Lord. Fasting shows a seriousness about being with the Lord. And I think it's interesting that more often, not that we shouldn't have fellowships, but that's what we do. We have potlucks, but when you read in the scriptures, how many times they fasted? But she was a person who was in close communion. She fasted and she prayed. See, it's not just good enough to skip a meal. That's not really accomplishing much. If all you do is skip a meal and you don't do anything with that time, all you've done is gone hungry. But she fasted and prayed. Have you thought about just the blessing it is to be able to pray and talk to the Creator of the universe? When Jesus died on the cross, you remember the veil was torn in two? There's nothing more that separates me from God because of Christ. I can boldly approach His throne. I can walk figuratively right up to God and talk to Him. What a shame when I don't. And why don't I? And why don't you? Anna, she was a person with close communion. The Bible says that she served the Lord. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You know, one of the things encouraging about Anna is she's kind of an unlikely, she's just kind of a normal person. She had been a widow for a long time. And yet the Bible records her for all time. She was a person who loved the Lord, served God in fastings and prayers. What an encouragement. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can start feeling like, well, you know, I'm not anything special. I mean, who am I? And that's true to a degree. But the Bible is full of just normal people who love the Lord. That's really what made the difference in her and many others' lives, is their love and devotion to God. But she had this great communion with God, and I can't help but think about the new year and all the decisions that we make. There would be no greater decision than for you to decide to have communion with God this year. And there's only one person who can keep that from happening. There is no outside force that can keep you from praying. Anytime we fail to pray, if I fail to pray, it's my failure. It's not yours. It's not the people around me. It's not the people who I feel like make me busy. It's my own failure. But we can have great communion with God. Notice the consistency that Anna had. Because the Bible once again says that she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That tells me this was important to Anna. Because anything that you would describe, well, Ben does that day and night, night and day. He never ceases to do that thing. You know what that would mean? Whatever that thing is, it would mean that's an important thing to me. Anything that you do consistently is important to you. That's really how you prove what's important, is by what you do, not by what you say. We've all heard the saying a billion times, actions speak louder than words. And all of us will say the right things, but our actions will reveal what's true. And the Bible once again describes Anna as communing with God, fasting and praying, and she was with the Lord night and day. What a challenge for us in the new year. This is not like complex. It's a pretty simple thing to understand. Just walking with God night and day. Continuing with the Lord night and day. What a great challenge we get from this woman named Anna. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Do you want the presence of God to be in your life? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, we've been promised that He will, if you're in Christ, God is never going to leave you or forsake you. And so if there's something lacking in your communion with God, it's not God's fault. Brother Jim Loris, many of you guys know Brother Jim. I remember he told the story for a long time. It's not his, it's not original, but he talked about the couple who went in for marriage counseling because, you know, they noticed they had a single cab truck, and they'd sit as far as they could from each other. And remember, you guys have all heard this, right? The husband was talking about how far she was sitting, and she was talking about how far he was sitting, and he said, "Listen, I've been in the driver's seat the whole time. I'm not the one who's moved away, honey. I didn't listen to a whole lot when I was like 6 and he was preaching, but I remember that story. I also remember Brother Jim Loris would say the word acorn like acorn. It's funny, the things you remember. Acorn. To this day, when I see like an acorn, I think of Brother Jim Loris. And I say in my head, acorn, just so you know. I'm weird. Amen. But that's the idea in the counseling, right? The husband says, "Honey, I'm not the one who ever moved away. I've been here the whole time. The Lord Jesus Christ has not left or departed us. God hasn't moved a bit. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. If there is a breakdown in communication with God, it's not on God's end. It's always on our end. And so Anna was someone who continued in fastings and prayings daily, night and day in the temple. Someone who felt the presence of God and was blessed because of it. We talked about this with Simeon, but remember, Simeon was led of the Spirit. He was directed by God to go to the temple when he did. Anna, I believe, what a great blessing that she got to hold Jesus and see him face to face. I would dare say, if she hadn't been there, she wouldn't have experienced that. That's not rocket science. But because she was there, and because she was in close communion with God, she was blessed because of it. And this isn't prosperity gospel, but the closer you are to the Lord, you'll be blessed. No one's going to regret time you spend in prayer. You're not gonna. If you continue with the Lord night and day, you're not going to wake up and say, "You know, I've wasted my life." But if you don't walk with the Lord, at the end, you might feel that way. I think about Brother Mike Raines sometimes. Near the end of his race, I can't remember who was talking to him, but somebody asked Brother Mike. You know, Brother Mike was a faithful man who loved the Lord, walked with the Lord. Wasn't a perfect man. No one's perfect. But he loved the Lord, and somebody asked him, how did he live his life so devoted to God? I remember what he told him. He said, "One day at a time." Mike Raines said, I didn't live 60 years committed to the Lord. I tried every day to walk with him. You want to live a life that's in close communion and faithful to the Lord, just do it one day at a time. And when you fail, because you will, you'll have a day where you where you walk away or you don't spend as much time with as you should with the Lord, what do you do the next day? Well, you just don't do it again. Wake up and continue in fastings and prayings, walking with the Lord night and day. Be in close communion with God. Anna was an older woman, but she didn't live a faithful life except by one day at a time. That's how it's done. And notice, thirdly this morning, the communication that the Bible mentions about Anna. We see the communion she had with God, the consistency that was a hallmark in her life. But notice the communication that came out of her mouth. Verse number 38, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Two things about her communication. Number one, notice her communication to God. It says that she gave thanks. Now, in November, around Thanksgiving time, I remember I shared this in a sermon, or I don't know, at some point I was talking. But there's a difference between feeling gratitude and giving thanks. Isn't there? I mean, we try to teach our kids from a young age to say thank you, right? Like, you hand them something and you wait for a response. And if they don't say anything, what do you say? You tell them, hey, say thank you. Well, do you ever wonder if do you ever wonder if the Lord looks at us and says, say thank you? The least you can do is say thanks. There's a great difference between knowing and doing. We talked about that in Sunday school, about submitting to God. It's a huge difference in saying, I should submit to God, and actually submitting to God. That's right. And there is a big difference between feeling thankful and actually giving thanks. We ought to feel thankful. We ought to have gratitude. But our gratitude should lead us to doing something about it, and that is giving thanks to God. And how do you do that? Once again, not rocket science. You can say thank you to God. Amen. You can do that in prayers. Listen, I think that throughout the day, you can just say thank you. Amen. That's a prayer. We can worship in song, and that's what we ought to do when we sing to the Lord. We're thanking him for who he is, what he's done. And I love one of the words that's mentioned here, that she did this likewise. I think that's comparing her to Simeon here. Think about all that Simeon, we talked about on Wednesday night. Remember, God promised that he would get to see the Savior. And Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And Simeon was then blessing God. We talked about what that word meant. He was eulogizing. He was speaking well of God, thanking him for this great blessing. And Anna gave thanks to the Lord. I mean, do you have anything to be thankful for? How about this next part? Not to get ahead of myself, but she spoke to others about the redemption. If you are in Christ, that means you've been redeemed. And if nothing else, be thankful that the Lord has saved your soul. But I'll tell you, that's not the only thing you have to be thankful for. That's a good place to start. But we can certainly give thanks. You say, well, I've had a tough time. The Bible's full of examples of people having a tough time who were thankful. We ought to be people who give thanks. You know, if any group of people should be filled with gratitude, it should be us. So notice their communication to God. She actually gave thanks. Didn't just feel thankful, but she gave thanks. And then lastly, she spoke to others about the Christ. In verse 38, once more, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Now, you understand, like, when we read our Bibles, the culture then is a little bit different than the culture we live in now, right? Would you agree with that? America in almost 2024 is different than Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. But the Bible says that she spoke to those who looked for redemption in Israel. At that time, she's surrounded by Jewish people, and that's what they were doing. The Jews were looking for a Savior. For thousands of years, they were looking for a Savior, and Jews today are still looking for a Savior, which is a tragedy. But she spoke to those who were looking for salvation. The reality is here in Muldrow, we're surrounded by some people who aren't necessarily looking for redemption. But people are looking. This town's full of people who are looking. So I know people who claim to be atheists, but they're looking for peace. I know people who claim to not believe in a creator, but they're looking for purpose. I know people who don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, but they feel guilt and they feel shame. And you know those people too. And Anna spoke to those who were looking for redemption in Israel. And this week, you're going to come across people who are looking for forgiveness, are looking for hope. And anybody who watches the news for like 5 minutes is going to be looking for hope. You know, suicide rates are through the roof right now. You're surrounded by people who are looking for purpose. And you know the answer to all those things people are searching for, the people who are looking, is Jesus. Jesus gives me purpose. Jesus forgives my sins. Jesus gives me hope. Not much else in this life gives me hope. But after this life, nothing but up. And she spoke to those. This, once again, there's a difference between knowing and doing. Everybody here in this room knows. Well, we ought to talk to people about Christ. Everybody agrees with that. But there's a huge difference in knowing what to do and doing it. We all know that's true. New Year's is tomorrow. I don't know if people make resolutions. Everybody here knows you ought to eat healthy, right? Everybody know that? Does that mean you're going to do it? I spent the last couple of days in Idabel with my mother-in-law. We had Christmas down there. Listen, I know it's a bad idea to eat an entire row of fun-sized Butterfingers. I know it's a bad idea. I know that at the old age of 33, if I do that, I'm going to feel like trash. I know I shouldn't wash it down with four Dr. Peppers. I know that. But there's a difference between knowing and doing. I actually ate a whole row and a half. It wasn't even a whole row. I told that to Sunday school class. And they said, isn't that like three full-size candy bars? Yeah, it is. Okay. But they're fun size. It's more fun if you eat more of them. That's the point. Listen, I know that I ought to exercise. I feel better when I go running. I made a terrible mistake. You guys might not know this. Brother Philip, he's an avid runner. He runs miles and miles for fun. And back when right after my hernia surgery, I told him, hey, once I get better, I'll go running with you. That was a mistake. Because I don't want to be a liar. Listen, I know that I ought to run to feel better. But knowing it and doing it, totally different. I know that this week I'm going to come across people who are looking for hope and purpose and forgiveness and all these different things. I know that. I know that. But knowing it and actually telling them, listen, you can be forgiven by Christ, different. But Anna was someone who spoke. That's action. She actually did it. She spoke to people. She opened her life. You know, people who are like, I just let my life be my witness. That's not what Anna did. Anna wasn't like, well, people will just see the way that I live my life and they'll know to trust in Jesus. That's not how it works. Amen. Now, your life ought to back up your message, but you should have a message, verbal. How can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? And you and me are the someone who can tell them this week. Anna sets a great example. You know, I picture this in my head once again. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption. She wasn't picky and choosy about who she talked to. Anybody who was looking for hope in Jerusalem, she told them about that hope. You know, we don't always pick and choose the people the Lord brings us across. But we ought to speak to all of them who are looking for hope, who are looking for peace, looking for joy, looking really for Christ, even if they don't know it. What a great example and a challenge that Anna sets before us today. The truth is, every time a sermon is preached, we have decisions to make. We have choices to make. And when we leave here this morning, we're either going to just know or we're going to do. And the Bible tells us to not only be hearers, but to be doers also. And so what we can do, and you know, it's kind of cheesy because it's New Year's Eve, but listen, we can resolve that with the Lord's help, we're going to do what we know is right. I'm going to speak this week when I have opportunity. I'm going to talk to those who are looking for hope. Let's all stand together. We'll have our musicians come forward. We'll have a verse of invitation. This morning, if you don't know Christ, you may be looking for those things as well. Christ gives you purpose. He gives you hope. He gives you peace. He gives you relationship with your Creator that you can't have outside of Jesus. Sometimes we knock on doors, we meet people who say things, well, like, you know, I know God. I've got an agreement with God. You don't know God outside of Jesus. And God doesn't know you. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But that means that any man can come to the Father through him. And this morning, if you don't have the forgiveness of your sins, you can come to Christ this morning and be forgiven because of who he is and what he did for you. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and I pray that you would have your will done in each of our hearts here this morning. I thank you for the hope that we can share in the gospel, and Lord, just the purpose that you give our lives. I pray that you would help us to be people who live walking with you. That's a daily thing, and God, help us to recognize the opportunities that we have this week, that we would be faithful to talk to others about the hope that we've been given. We thank you so much for your grace that you've given us. We ask that your will be done. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Page 551.